today's episode, we've got some stories we need to share, because my hope is that you can hear some of these horror stories with our experiences with other vendors and learn from it. But if not, then maybe it'll just be a good old-fashioned chuckle for your Wednesday.
We are gathered here today to bring together the wedding community. Whether you are a seasoned pro, a newbie planning to start your own wedding business, or an engaged couple hoping to see behind the scenes, we're here to share tips, tricks, and laughs with you as we talk weddings. The Union Podcast is a show that aims to build a community for those in the wedding planning trenches. Join Jamie Wolfer, Heather Laurie Fear, and special guests in roundtable discussions about the challenges and joys of the wedding business. And now, here come your hosts, Jamie and Heather.
Jamie, I'm so excited to talk with you today about when vendors are naughty.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions about like client horror stories, but like, I don't really have a lot of those, but the vendors, oh my goodness. Do they give us a run for our money sometimes?
They really do. A lot of times they're great. I mean, I will say that up front. Out of the vast majority of events I have been involved with, the vendors have been excellent, or at least trying to be excellent. You know, like sometimes stuff happens, but like they were doing what they could to make the best of bad situations. And today we're going to dig into a couple of those bad moments.
Yeah, because I mean, there's a difference between like actively trying to do well and just not successfully doing it, and then just not doing well. Yeah, that's going to be more of the focus of today, I think, because there's been some moments.
Yeah, or, you know, moments I would even say where the vendor, maybe in their head they're trying. I don't know. I cannot answer to what was in their brain.
Yeah.
But certainly on the outside, there was very little recourse, very little, or I should say like apologies for some of these situations, which I'm like, ooh, that's even worse. If you totally blew this situation and then now you're just like, oh yeah, that was fine. No big deal.
Oh, like you feel good about that? Like that felt good?
So yeah, the situations where we've seen vendors really blow it. And you know, we're going to also talk about what we did in those situations, how we stepped up and tried to save the day if possible. And maybe looking back, you know, with that 2020 clarity, that hindsight, 2020 is maybe a scary word now, but you know, with that hindsight, that we can think about what we would do differently if we were handling that situation today.
Yeah. Cause I feel like so much of that is like that whole hindsight is 2020 thing. There's definitely some things I'd do differently now, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And that's with age and wisdom and years of experience, you start seeing the writing on the wall sometimes before the bad situation unfolds.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what the summary is going to be. But, you know, let's tell our stories and see what we find today.
Let us tell our stories. Well, Heather, why don't you kick us off? Because, you know, there's some good stuff we got to share.
Yes. I think we both want to start by discussing the troublemaker of the group. The DJs. So we have found, and I mean, there's no research survey properly done here, but in our experience, we've seen a bit more of a challenge with these DJs than other folks.
Yeah, I think that's pretty consistent. I've got 5 stories ready and 2 of them are about DJs. So I'm not saying that like it's a good scientific study, but I am saying based off my personal experience, it sometimes is the DJ that I have the most trouble with.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's like the background a DJ would come from, like the person who wants to be at parties and be the life of the party. There could be some personality associations, some details of that type of person that may not always be super timely and reliable and punctual, which are things that I have personally ran into. So just to dive on into it, the DJ that I had this big issue with arrived, no, he didn't arrive to the wedding on time. Yeah, that's how it started. And he double booked himself. He, you know, just got a little confused and was at a different wedding when he was supposed to be at this wedding getting set up, I am very meticulous with the timeline. I had sent many messages in advance, you know, in the crazy micromanagey sort of way I do. And he did not say anything. He was just like, cool, cool. Yeah, see you there. I know what I'm doing. And I'm like, all right, sounds confident. And then just totally was not there on time. And I'm texting him, following up, going, hey, you on your way? Maybe you're stuck down at the loading dock. The venue is a little bit tricky. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm at another venue. I'm just getting, I got a friend to run the wedding here just on the fly. I realized I was double booked. So I'm just setting up their equipment here and then I'm going to leave. And I pulled together some other just backup equipment. I'm going to go pick that up at home.
Oh my gosh.
Bring it over. And I'm like, what?
Oh my gosh.
So I was frightened. I should have known right then. I should have been like, nope, we need to like call 1-800-EMERGENCY-DJ hotline. Like, pull in a backup plan here because this clearly wasn't going to work out. We had a few hours before the event. He rolls in like 30 minutes before the ceremony.
No.
Yes, they're already there. They're already coming in, getting set up, and he's trucking all his equipment in, trying to unload and get set up with his backup janky equipment.
Oh my gosh.
Which resulted in exactly what you guys would expect. There were glitches with the music. The music fully froze mid like entry of the couple. Like the procession at multiple points, the music's like da 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 stop. And luckily the couple and their family are like the sweetest people and very silly. And they were doing it like it was like red light, green light. Like they would just freeze. And then wait, and they just went with it. And it became like, it was like a funny moment, but I was dying. I was like lasers through this man's body with my eyes, just like you. Oh, and I demanded the couple be compensated properly for this to get it all worked out. Cause it just, it, the ceremony was essentially destroyed. The entry to the whole thing was so messed up. And in addition, he of course forgot some of the details. You know, he was supposed to bring like up lights and some other cool stuff to kind of jazz up the venue, and didn't have them. Also, you know, it was so late that there was no time to set them up. So anyway, I had to like get on the mat and negotiate for this couple, but it was so stressful. Like I was about to go up to the mic and start trying to sing the song for them to get them up there on stage, which would have also probably been a disaster in its own way. But,
you know, it would have been, I felt like the couple, you know, the couple probably would have run with it anyways and really like enjoyed that maybe even more than the red light, green light situation. I cannot believe that though. I've never seen that happen.
Oh, it was so bad. And he blamed on like, oh, we're in a dead spot right here. And so it was just bad luck. Like there, I couldn't have done anything if I was here on time. And I was like, you could have tested it.
You could have downloaded the songs.
Yeah, we could have done a lot of things. Actually, had you been here a few hours early, we could have found this issue and fixed this issue.
Oh my gosh.
So that one, it was a heartbreaker. I was very upset.
Oh, I think it's just hard because like good DJs are so good, but bad DJs are so bad. Like there's just, and there's mediocre DJs out there as well, but oh my goodness, as far as like we as wedding planners, just recently I interviewed Griffin over on the channel with DJ Griff Entertainment. What a gem. And I just wish like every single DJ could be like him, because I do not think we would ever see anything like that come from a DJ like that. And you know, as you're working in the industry longer, you just begin to spot this stuff a lot sooner. But I do think there is something to be said about the DJ mentality. Like, you can't see, but I'm doing the finger quotes. They're like, I'm a DJ. It's fine. I'm a DJ. And you're like, cool, but we still got to figure out how to work together. Like, I'm a wedding planner.
Right.
Cool. Now that we've established our roles, like, let's figure this out. But I think it is that role specifically that kind of has that attitude, or can.
Yeah, they can. And often that's the vendor of all of them that gives me a little bit of an eye roll when I'm digging into the details of like, okay, this is when we're gonna do the toast and make sure you pronounce this person's name this way. And they're just looking at me like, stop telling me what to do. I know what I'm doing. And I mean, most of the time I'm sure they do, but I'm just gonna double check, because if some big issue comes up, I'm gonna feel responsible, even though really, like really, it's kind of their fault. If they mispronounce a name, they should have checked on that. Yeah. But I just like to, you know, dot my I's and cross my T's, as they say.
Yeah. And I don't think there's any issue of like, following up with that kind of stuff. I think one of the worst DJ situations I've ever had was a DJ who was a club DJ and also a DJ for a major sporting arena in California.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. So immediately your mind goes to the pew, 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 pew sound effects.
Yeah, I was going to say like,
you're not
Sunday,
wrong.
Sunday, Sunday, like that stuff.
You're not wrong. Over toasts.
Oh boy.
He was interrupting people during their toasts. Mother of the bride started speaking and he's like, yeah, mama, on his microphone. And I was like, how do we make this not happen? Where she'd say something like sentimental and then he'd play a sound effect. And I'm like, this is not good.
Wow. Yeah, that is, I'm guessing, not the vibe that the couple wanted there.
No. And it was, okay. So this guy was like, the whole time it was frustrating. We had our initial walkthrough and he came by because it was a backyard turned into a wedding venue. And he was like, don't worry, guys, I'm going to get people up on their feet even during cocktail hour, you know, before we even serve dinner, people are going to be dancing. And I was like, that's actually a bad thing. Like, we don't want that to happen because then I can't get their attention to get them back to their seats, to get them to like go to dinner, because then dinner is going to be delayed. I think the responsibility of a good DJ is to make sure people are focused on what they need to be focused on at that moment in time. And this DJ was like, nope, I'm going to play my pew, pew, pews and like interrupt the mother of the bride during her really sweet toast. And sure as heck, he created a dance floor during cocktail hour. And come to find out, the photographer was with the couple and the couple was so distracted because they were like, there's a party happening and we're not there with our guests. They actually verbally said that out loud. They're like, we want to go. They're enjoying this time without us. Like, and the photographer couldn't really get them to concentrate on photos and had to take them even further away because here they are wanting to celebrate with their favorite people. And it wasn't this chilled cocktail hour like they thought it was going to be. Well, come to dinner time and I'm trying to get people to go to their seats. And then he really ramps it up. He actually calls for a dance circle.
What?
A dance circle. And I was like,
oh boy,
I need people to eat. Like, I need them to eat. So if we could not, and he was like, yeah, okay. But people are really enjoying this. And I was like, that's great. Let's put a pin in this and let's have them enjoy this afterwards. Well, unfortunately, that I kind of kept running into that attitude of he did know more than I did and he did ignore what I was saying. Actually, at one point, I cried. Like, he was so
mad
that I just flat out cried. But the bride kept signaling us because she wanted toast to get going. And so I went up to the DJ four times. And I was like, hey, she'd really like to get toast going. And he's like, oh, people are taking pictures with her. I'm like, I'm aware of that. She would really like to get toast going. She doesn't want to keep taking pictures. Second time, said the same thing. Third time, said the same thing. Fourth time, the maid of honor comes up with me. And we're like, we need to get toasts going. And that's when his response was so strong that I just like left and cried in the corner.
Oh, jeez.
And it was like, it just was such an experience where I was like, I don't know. Even looking back now, I'm like, I don't know what I would have done. I have no idea what I would have done differently. Because at that point, it was like, there was no getting around this person's ego. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it was an ego situation for sure. And almost like you would have had to write the script of like, I need you to announce, we're going to do toasts in 5 minutes. So please go to your seats.
Yeah.
To like guide people away from the couple. So he felt it's time to now intro the toast. But that's pretty natural for most DJs. So yeah. I don't know why that was hard, but yeah, it sounded like a real personality issue with that one.
Yeah, and it was sad because the couple was looking forward to getting on the dance floor. And instead of having 2 hours, they had 1 hour. That's how much time he ate up. That's how much he put us off track. And I was like, this is just, I can't. That was crazy.
Well, and it sounds like he really did a great job getting people excited and out on the dance floor. So it's just unfortunate that wasn't harnessed at the appropriate time where the event had the flow the couple wanted. And I mean, I'm sure there are some couples who they just want a big dance party, like literally the whole time, and they're doing a cocktail reception or something. And that's fine. And that's cool. And pew, pew, pew away, like go nuts. But like,
I don't ever think the pew, pew, pew are acceptable in my opinion at this time.
I mean, maybe you met on the dance floor at the club, you know, I'm not going to judge you if you want the pew, pew, pews, but it is certainly not going to be comfortable to all of your guests. I will say your Nana is going to be like, why is there that weird noise? Are my ears ringing? She's going to be confused.
Also, I love that you thought that that noise would be played at a club.
It's not. This obviously shows how often I go to clubs, you guys.
You know, so maybe that's the noise that played when you were at the club. No, it's like the sporting event noises.
Oh, I'm thinking of like the foghorn. Like, you know, like they're going to come in with big
also, when
flashy things of champagne. But like,
foghorn at a club.
I don't know. I don't go to clubs, you guys. I don't get out much, okay? Never have. I'm not really the party animal of the group here.
Oh, but, my gosh. Well, I just, you know. I adore you to pieces, you know, in the club. Pew, pew, pew.
That's what they do at the club I go to, okay? You don't know.
It's a sports exclusive club.
Yeah, it's exclusive and very 40. Cool. Yeah, it's really cool. Okay, yeah. I don't think I said what I would have done different with. And I think I should go back and say that. As far as that DJ running so late and it being very clear it wasn't going to work out, well, it's such a tough situation. I don't know what I could have done different except force the guests to be in like a holding tank outside of the ceremony space and potentially push the start time by 30 minutes or something to give more time for setup and for him to fully test everything. I think that would have probably been my best bet because I really couldn't have called in another person at that point. The money could have been lost. They would have probably lost whatever they have paid to that DJ because he's going to say, it's not my fault. I was showing up and you canceled that an hour before, you know, so it would have put the client in a really bad financial situation. So I would have had to work with them, but I think I should have controlled the guests a little bit better so that he had the space he needed to fully prepare. So that would be my redo.
And I think one thing that we've learned, and like, as I'm sure you guys listening right now are like, yep, learned it too, is you just learned to spot the signs earlier.
Yeah.
We learn how to look for those red flags sooner because you're like, it then makes you second guess all the email exchanges that you have with that person, all of the interactions that you had in person or those sorts of things, or what your client has told you about them. You know, do they fall into an extreme budget category? Do they typically do weddings in general? And I think that's when we start to kind of spot those flags earlier. That tends to be more helpful.
For sure. Yeah. I think the earlier you can notice things going off track, the better. And obviously you're brought in sometimes as a coordinator and you didn't pick these people. Like you didn't recruit this team. This is the team you were given. So you're kind of jumping in and just trying to assess, you know, who's on the roster and who's going to be the problem child and how to move through it.
I actually have a section in my contract specifically that says like, I am not responsible for any of the behavior of any of the vendors because like, it doesn't matter if I suggested them or not. They are their own people. They are their own entities. Like you can't be mad if they go crazy because I'm just going to do my best to do my job. But again, please sign here on the dotted line to confirm that if anything goes wrong with them, it's not my fault. Yeah. Because of situations like that.
That's smart. And you had a second DJ situation that unfolded as well.
Oh my gosh.
DJs. I'm sorry. If you're listening to your DJ, we do like you.
I love DJs.
You're doing a great job.
I love DJs. I think the problem is like they hold so much power if they're not doing things successfully. Yeah. This other one was a relative of a member of the couple. And he thought, well, first of all, he showed up with a book of CDs.
Oh, book of CDs. What year was this?
3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Oh boy. I didn't even know people still were carrying those around. Did he have like a little folder?
Oh no, it was like, you know, the things that you used to store your DVDs in as a kid. Like
the big ones.
Page after page. I mean, he probably had 100 CDs with him.
Well, that's a lot. 100 CDs.
I know.
Wow.
I know. And at first I was like, oh, old school. I dig it. Until I realized how long it took him to find stuff. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That doesn't hold a candle to the digital tools we have available to us now.
Nope. Ain't nothing like a Spotify playlist for sure. So we kick things off. The ceremony goes off without a hitch. I wasn't too worried about it. I think ceremony might have been in-house, so he wasn't needed until cocktail hour and reception. So cocktail hour rolls around, and I'm going up to check on him, and he's halfway into a drink, a whiskey-based drink.
All right.
So it's not like he was like sipping on a glass of wine or a beer. Like, no, he went straight for the hard stuff. I was like, all right. And I knew he was a relative. So I was like, this will be interesting. Automatically, that was my first flag. Because usually relatives don't fulfill a long-standing position like that throughout the entire evening. And they're more of a participant. You know, maybe they do a dessert table or they do the flowers, but then they can participate in the rest of the night. So I was like, interesting. He already has a drink. Okay, let's see how this goes. So I talked to him about toasts. And this particular bride and her sister were going to rap. And oh, I was wow. like, oh, yeah. I was so excited about this one. So I went up to him. I'm like, hey, just want to make sure, you know, that we've got the mic ready because this rap was something they've clearly worked on for a really long time. And I was so ready. I was so ready. I couldn't wait. And I was like, how many microphones do you have? And he was like, one. Okay. Okay. So as far as toasts are concerned, I'm thinking I'm going to have them stand here. Does that work for you? He goes, no, my cords aren't long enough.
Okay.
He didn't bring enough cords to sustain the microphone to stand anywhere close to the head table. And at that point I was like, bro, you got to book a CD, you got one microphone, and the mic, that's the microphone he's using for announcing too. So that means for every toast, he makes the announcement and then someone has to run the corded mic out to whoever is about to give the toast.
Well, like run the corded mic, but like 5 feet. So basically the people have to do the toast in the booth with him.
I mean, it was just far enough because he was up on a level. It was just far enough that like they weren't next to him, but oh my goodness. So as the night continues to go on, there's first dance, father, daughter, mother, son, and he can't find the cake cutting song, I think it was. He couldn't find it in his CDs. And I was like, I wonder why, because it's a book. And so he just cuts the music and it's silent. I mean, no one's talking. No one's doing anything. He's not playing ambient music. He's flipping furiously through this book of CDs. And bear in mind, he's like three drinks in at this point.
Oh boy.
So he's not very communicative. He's a little bit belligerent. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what are we supposed to do? And so I pull out my phone, pull up the song in Apple Music and plug my phone in and press play. I'm like, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. But it took him a while to even find the right chord to press play with. So fast forward throughout the night, there were like three other songs that he missed and three other times that he cut the music completely to try to find this music. And so towards the end of the evening, the bride and groom are done. They leave. We do grand exit. It is the end of the rental time. And this guy keeps playing music. And the dance floor is going off for the first time the whole night, by the way, because he had just been like so choppy with how he was playing music the whole time.
Yeah, with those CDs, it's tough.
With those CDs. made me think of those like multi-disc players that we had like way back in the day where you could swap between them really easily. Yeah, he didn't have one.
He would have needed that. That would have made it a lot more smooth.
Probably. That little like clicking noise in between. I feel like a jukebox would have been smoother at this point. So he is three sheets to the wind. He is toasted. He is done. And the dance floor is going off and they're like, one more song, one more song. I let that happen three times. And I kept walking up to him to be like, okay, we do need to end this. And then the venue manager is coming up to me and they're like, if these people do not leave, we will have to charge the couple more. Their rental time is done. They're supposed to be leaving. And I was like, I am right there with you. I don't know what to do. I can't get this guy to stop playing music. Like, I just don't know what to do. Like, maybe he found his favorite mix or something and like his favorite mixtape and now we were good to go. So I basically walked up to him and I said, if you do not stop playing this music right now, we will shut off power to this corner of the building. We have to get people out. You have to stop. And then he gets on the microphone and starts trash talking me. Basically,
oh my gosh.
Like, the coordinator says we have to leave. I don't want to listen to her, but she says we have to. And then the crowd starts booing me.
Oh,
and I'm like,
Lord.
Oh my gosh. So at this point I'm like, just get out. Just like, please. I don't even know what to do. Oh,
what? That is insane. Oh. So did you have to like drag him out by his ear or what?
No, he finally stopped after he had his little rant on the microphone. I was like, oh, it just was, that was one of those nights where I'm like, I'm ready for this to be done now. Yeah.
I'm over this.
I'm done. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm ready to be the one having some whiskey and not dealing with you.
Bro. So as far as handling things differently, I always hesitate to like boss vendors around when I see that they have a drink, because I don't know if the couple has okayed it or allowed it for me, that's a hard no, like every single time. Like, we do not drink at events. I don't care if the couple's like, come on, just take one shot with us. Nah, like, or a glass of champagne. No, I just don't, because we just want to represent ourselves as professionally as possible. So I should have, when I saw the second one, I probably should have said something. I feel like, mm-hmm. I don't know, but I don't know what to do there.
I mean, my thought would be the best way you could have played it is to say the venue doesn't allow this for liability reasons. So, and like, just put the blame on somebody else. And then that way you can just kind of be like, oh, I see you had a drink. You know, they are going to kick you out. It's like a liability issue. So I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to have you drink anymore. Since you're serving as a vendor, I'm sorry that the couple didn't tell you that, but that's one of the rules.
And yeah.
Might have had a little fit, but at least it would have been when he was more sober. And also,
I know.
You know, easier to manage versus late in the night, but I don't know. That would be my thought.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little white lie flipping wouldn't hurt anybody. And I think if the venue knew that he was the DJ that kept coming down for drinks, they probably wouldn't have served him.
Yeah. They wouldn't have preferred that. I don't think any venues want the vendors to be drinking or particularly drinking heavily. And I think where you get like those frienders, like the friend / vendor people, it can be more of an issue because they have that position where the couple's like, you're attending the wedding, don't worry, you can just be here like you're having fun, but just do this one job. But there really are liability concerns of them handling this equipment and being in that space and, like, you know, possibly falling off the stage.
Oh my gosh. Homie was like 2 seconds away from falling off. Had there not been a railing in front of him, I would have been concerned.
Oh geez.
Well, that was so bad.
Like a bad one. And I mean, we're like pretty deep into this episode and we've only talked about DJs. So sorry, DJs. There are a lot of good ones. So don't be afraid. Those of you who are listening being like, I'm scared to hire a DJ now. You just, you know, you're going to want to make sure some of these issues are discussed with them too, of like, are you going to drink? Because like that, I feel like for DJs specifically, even ones that are professional doing this all the time, it's not uncommon for them to drink.
Yeah, I don't think we see too many of them doing that. In fact, if they did, I don't think I'd recommend them again, just because it's like, again, just let's have that professional demeanor, you know?
Yeah, I think it's the more professional they take it, the more they move away from it. But then you get the ones, like you said, that are crossovers from a club or are a friender, and then you see it a little more. Yeah, those folks from the club, obviously, I know about that. Okay, so I had a little story here that went wrong with an officiant. You pronounce it officiant?
I kind of do both.
Yeah, I'm like, I sometimes switch it up too, and I'm like, I don't really know what is correct, but
like neither and neither, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, the person running the ceremony at this one ceremony, she arrived late. I am, again, very detailed before wedding. So I had sent
Matt. What?
I sent a Google pin of exactly where we were because we were on
the Of course you did.
And I'm like, here, we are here exactly on this map. Just go to this GPS coordinate. You will find me. And she did not. She just Googled the name of the venue. And there was a similar venue that was like 40 minutes away. And she fully drove there before realizing that was not the right place.
So, oh, no.
That was bad. But that was still a few hours before the ceremony. So we worked it out. She made it barely though, before the ceremony is supposed to be starting. So it was getting a bit stressful for the couple. But when she got there, we obviously didn't have a whole lot of time to discuss everything, review everything. We had talked on the phone, but in person, we didn't go through it again as detailed as I normally would. So she's like, I got it. I know. Okay. I've got my notes here. Let's go. I don't want to hold people up. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Okay.
We have the ceremony and everything's going pretty well. I'm like, okay, she pulled it together. She's calmed down. She's up there doing a great job. She gets to the end of the ceremony and I'm like, wait, there was a sand ceremony that's supposed to happen. And like, I noticed this pretty late in the ceremony that they're going to, you know, they're clearly about to have the first kiss. And I'm like, okay, well, we missed the sand ceremony, but no big deal. In my head, I'm like, we will do that at the reception now. A little unconventional, but we'll make it up somewhere today.
Yeah.
And she realizes it right after the first kiss and then walking down the aisle. And they're about halfway down the aisle and she goes, wait, come back.
Oh no.
We're going to do the sand ceremony. I forgot to do the sand ceremony. And she gets all bumbly and like confused because she noticed she missed this and recalls the couple back to the front, and their guests are standing up. Everyone's all confused and has them do the sand ceremony. And I'm just in the back being like, no, you just leave it be at that point and we'll figure it out elsewhere. I mean, the sand ceremony, it's like,
she called them back.
She called them back and had them recess twice. And the couple didn't really care. They were like fine and just laughed. And we got extra photos of them kissing for the second time and recessing for the second time.
Because they wouldn't have been married without pouring the sand.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, that was just like a ceremonial, like extra little detail, little zhuzh that could have been zhuzhed at another time in the party, you know? And yeah, so that was weird. And there was nothing I could do because like, she's going, come back. I'm just like, ew. Like, do I just yell? Like, don't listen to her. Everyone just proceed. Like, don't listen to the woman.
Or just like run up and throw your hand over her mouth, like, no. Like, what do you do?
I don't know what we could have done different, except this is something for me, being more mindful, being more in the moment and taking a minute to pause and go, all right, let's discuss this in detail before you go up there. We can start this thing a couple minutes late. It's better that we actually are very clear. It's just sometimes it's tricky because the vendors are like confident. Like, I got this. Oh. You don't need to tell me anything else.
Oh, absolutely. Except for with officiants in general, like I can almost predict how quick a ceremony is going to be based on if they've done this before or not. Like I automatically know, I don't care. I mean, if most of them are obviously selected because they're very well spoken, but for some reason, without a doubt, they speed through it. And it's always so fast.
Yeah.
I had this one officiant though, who, yes, he did speed through it. He was like their small group leader. But oh my golly, bless his heart. He captured me for like 45 minutes before the ceremony began. Just wanted to talk through everything, absolutely everything, to the point where I was looking at my assistant. I'm like, just go. Just like, go run the day. Go do the thing. Because he has me scooting back and forth the arbor, like the arch piece, so it was perfectly centered. Mm-hmm. And then he wanted to go through his entire thing. I spent more time talking with him than we did on the actual ceremony itself. And I was like, we could have done the entire ceremony in this 45 minutes. Like, you only had them for 10, 15. Mm-hmm. So it just was an interesting thing for me to take note of, like, those who don't do this professionally or don't do this regularly need a little bit more handholding. Yeah. And that is actually something that we have considered adding into our contract. Like, if you're going to DIY anything, DIY a vendor or a friender, we might bring in a third person. Because my poor assistant is like flying around, chucking out table numbers, trying to make sure escort cards are set up. Because this place was like particularly windy and it had kept picking all of them up. So it was already a pretty chaotic day for us. And then he's just got all the questions and I'm trying really hard to just shut the conversation down. I'm trying to be polite and make sure that he feels heard and understood because he's nervous and I get that. But also be like, okay, well, I'm going to go check on this. And then he would just override what I was saying. Oh my gosh. So I don't even know how it maybe just be more definitive next time and be like, okay, I'll go ahead and let you scoot the arbor back and forth and then come back later. Maybe I was being too nice.
Perhaps.
I don't even know how I would have fixed that.
Yeah. With that sort of a situation where it's a friend or relative as an officiant, I would ask that that person be there for the rehearsal. So they can be a part of the rehearsal. It sometimes makes the rehearsal a lot longer because they're kind of figuring out their space and it all, but it's kind of better to work out the kinks in my experience the day before, because then you do end up with them there and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't know. What am I doing? Yeah. Double checking everything. And you're like, we just did this yesterday. Yeah. Why weren't you here? So I don't know. That might help. That might be a way to solve that one, but poor guy. Sounds really
stressed. I mean, he's definitely wasn't as bad as the officiant who like full on undressed in front of my mom. That was cool.
Why would he be doing that?
Why? Well, first of all, I was a woman. So it's not like it was just some strange man.
I'm like, that would be very aggressive and inappropriate. But I mean, regardless, it's like you get their bathrooms and stuff. There are places to do that.
She needed help getting dressed, apparently. So she had to get into costume.
What?
Yes. So she had probably, I don't know, 20, 24 inch high beehive wig.
What sort of wedding was it? This is a wild one.
This was, and she needed help getting her dress on. But my mom wasn't quite aware what was happening. So she like followed her in because she had asked for help, but didn't ask for it very clearly. Like it wasn't very definitive what she was asking for help with. And then all of a sudden my mom's like, oh, because she's just like, clothes are coming off. And my mom's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Like this is, I turn around?
Yeah, this is above the call of duty here.
And it was like a little, it's at this place that was like a ruin outside of, in the desert in California. So there's no bathrooms there. There's like a little curtain type sheet type situation to just store product in one little alcove of this ruined home. Like literally it is ruins. So my mom and her are in this like, I don't know, 3 foot by 3 foot space. Oh my gosh. She came out and told me, and I was like, what do you do? What do you do?
Your poor mama. She's so sweet. Well, sounds like she handled that as gracefully as one can. And
yeah,
I don't know. I have not had any vendors undress in front of me. So that is preferable for me.
I mean, yeah. I just feel like keeping clothes on when you're working is pretty important. Like,
yeah, it keeps things profesh, you know? I was going to like switch it up and talk about something that's close to my heart, which is not so much a vendor messing up on the day of, but like a vendor or venue seeming slimy AF, which I hate for my couples. I hate it. I've had a few situations where I've gone to venues with the couples or to work on room blocks, just like digitally, you know, emailing and stuff. And I found both of the, well, this particular venue situation, we went and toured the venue, looked like it was going to be great. We read through all the details, you know, asked a million questions with this person, the venue manager, and, you know, looked like it was going to fit in their budget. And then got the contract. They sent an email with the contract. And I look at it and I'm like, you guys, this is not going to work. They had said the price, I don't remember what it was, a few thousand dollars is like the cost of the room. And then there were a ton of different food pricing options. So basically they could make something work for their budget. And then when we got the actual contract, there was a food and beverage minimum of $14,000.
Whoa.
Yeah. They didn't mention that. And the couple was so disappointed. They had already like been like, great, our date's available. This is going to be the place.
No.
And then I look at it and I'm like, you guys, this is not right. And they were going to have a relatively small wedding. So I'm like, to spend $14,000 on the food and beverage, like you're going to be buying a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Like they are not going to be able to eat all that. Or they're going to have to just drink exceptionally heavy. So it did not work out that we used that location, but I was like so frustrated to sit through a meeting and have a venue try to kind of like pull the wool over this couple's eyes.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things with me, with the stuff that I've done with the expo and stuff that I am passionate about, that there needs to be more transparency in that couples don't really know heads or tails of things. And like, had they just signed that agreement, there was like a clause in there that if they decided at any point to cancel, probably because they realized this minimum's insane, were owed the whole deposit, so which was several thousand dollars. And I'm like, they're just like basically trying to pickpocket them for this deposit.
Yeah. Oh, that stuff is so frustrating. And that's, I think, what scares so many couples.
Yeah.
In wedding planning, because they just don't know, or the contracts scare them, or, oh, I can't stand that.
It was gross. And, yeah. And I've seen similar things with room blocks. I know often with those, the attrition rates come up and couples don't know what they're doing. And then they book a room block and they have to pay for like 20 rooms that no one stays in, or a portion of it. And I'm this all could have been negotiated in advance if like I had worked with them earlier before that was signed. So these are not so much like vendor horror stories, but just like industry horror stories of things that I hope all of you listening like learn about and fight, get on the mat and fight for your couples and help them to avoid these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Sorry. No, I just think, I think all this comes with experience and all this comes with time. And there's no way that you're going to know this stuff early on when you're getting started. It's just, it makes for some really good stories. But I do think that what we're doing right now, and I think what at least we've done in my business, is really reflect after these events, like find somebody who you can talk to and decompress with. It could be your spouse. It could be your boyfriend. It could be the assistant that worked with you that day. Like what went well? What didn't go well? And what could we do better next time? Because none of these things that we're talking about, like none of them are necessarily our fault. You know, we didn't make the DJ drink. We didn't make the efficient call people back for the sand ceremony. We didn't make any of those things happen. But how can we be more aware of potentially what a less than professional vendor might look like beforehand, spot these flags and help mitigate this sooner? I mean, stuff like this still happens. We had a wedding this last weekend and the DJ was not great and there's nothing I could do about it. I mean, it was brutal. It was really bad. He started packing up before the night was over. Like that level of just like, okay, there's still some times that you can't help it. And you just learn how to navigate those situations better. But yeah, we're still riding through this process too.
Yeah. And I think for those of you who have found our Facebook group, this is the sort of stuff that would be great to connect with the other pros in that group about. Maybe there's a situation you're struggling with or something you're like, oh, what am I supposed to do if X, Y, and Z happens? And that you can lean on these other pros to give you feedback and ideas. That's what we hope to see in that community, is that sort of engagement from you all. Obviously, not a whole lot of weddings are happening right now at the moment, so you may not have current issues to discuss, but just know that's something there that you guys can do.
Yeah. I mean, because again, sometimes it's just nice to talk to somebody who gets it.
Yeah. Yeah. We get it, you guys. And you get it with each other, because a lot of you, I think, from what we've heard, are newer wedding planners. So you're going to be running into these challenges, and that's natural, and communicate with each other and support each other in this group. And we'll be here to cheer you on too. So we'll see you in the group, I guess. And Jamie, anything else you want to say to round it out?
Oh, what? That's a lot of pressure. No, there's nothing else.
No. Have a good day. Thank you for listening and be well.
Good morrow and stuff.
You've just walked down the aisle of today's episode of the Union Podcast. Thank you for celebrating today's show with us. We hope that you've found a little gem of wedding wisdom from this episode. Please let us know your feedback by sharing a screenshot of this episode on Instagram. Be sure to tag @UnionPodcast so we can hear your voices. Let us know what topics you'd love to hear about on future episodes. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform you prefer. Until next time, stay lovely, wedding friends.
Perfect. I think that's what people needed to hear. Good morrow.
Good morrow.